the crossbar! And it doesn't go in! Up on your salmon, a spawning salmon!
Oh, 30 to 1. I don't see you or Robbie on it.
You love rainbows and ponds and things like that, the morning mist. It's what it sounds like, Speedy.
You're listening to Breakfast on FNR. Football Nation Radio.
28 minutes past 8 this Thursday morning. It's Athos and Josh. We're taking you right through to 9 a.m. So get in touch, Football Nation, 0399 44 9999, or comment below on the Twitch or on the Facebook stream. Josh, it's that time of year, as you and I well and truly know, that the NPL competitions right around Australia have taken centre stage. You've called a few games. You're calling Oakley Heidelberg tomorrow, aren't you?
Yes, indeed. At Jack Edwards. Back at Jack Edwards, but this time for a proper home game. And Heidelberg playing there for the second time in the space of two rounds. So
they've played there more than Oakley this year.
Yeah, it's a funny situation, but hopefully Olympic Village will be ready before long and they'll be able to play a proper home game. This is their home away from home, but it's their away game. It's very confusing, Athos.
Well, we had Victoria and New South Wales kick off last week, and now we shift our attention to Queensland ahead of another exciting campaign. Simon Smale is one of the top commentators in NPL Queensland and has been good enough to join us this Thursday morning. Simon, welcome to the program.
G'day, Athos. G'day, Joss. How are you both?
Very well, thanks. It's a very different looking NPL Queensland this year, but all the more exciting. How was the league last season and how have the teams responded after a difficult 2020?
Yeah, look, it was a fantastic competition last year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We had a really strong top four and possibly at a detriment to the rest of the league. I mean, the top four finished 14 points ahead of the team in fifth spot. But they played some sensational football, of course, bolstered by some top talent from down south who obviously weren't able to get their season underway. But it really made for a fantastic competition. We had players like Harrison Sawyer, Dan Clark, who of course were in action last week and combining for goals, I think, in the South Melbourne victory. Sasuku Sakia, who's probably one of the top players outside of the A-League, playing in Australia over the last 3 years. So he was here as well. Marko Jankovic, Aiden Fedahagic. There were a lot of really good players coming up. But that just combined with the Queensland talent that's been up here for quite a long time. So it was really good. It made for a really compelling competition. And again, we probably had a bit of a surprise champion in terms of Lions. I mean, they've been the benchmark club, and I don't just mean from a men's perspective. Both them and the men's and the women's competition have really been dominated by Lions in recent years. But they did fall off a little bit last year, and yet still managed to finish in fourth spot and make grand final and win the grand final. Peninsula Power were premiers. It was just a great competition.
Yeah, Simon, it's Josh here. It seemed as if Queensland kind of benefited from Victoria shutting down because a lot of the local boys went back home and even some other players who wanted to finish the season properly signed in Queensland. So we had so much of the Victorian talent flooding back up there. And it seems to me as if NPL Victoria kind of poaches Queensland local talent all the time because we can't seem to develop our own players. What is Queensland doing that Victoria isn't, do you think, in terms of youth development and NPL level? Because it's got me scratching my head, and it seems like Queensland might be leading the country in terms of youth development at the moment in both men's and women's football.
Yeah, it's a good question, Josh, because you're right. It's a bone of contention up here that all the best players seem to sort of graduate through all the academies up here and then sort of head and chase some money stuff. I mean, you'll have Henry Hoare playing down for South Melbourne this year, who is absolutely one of the top players, has been one of the top players in the competition up here over the last 2 years. It's hard to put a finger on it other than just the clubs doing a great job with youth development. I mean, they're often giving youth players a chance as well. And I think that's a real bonus for a lot of clubs. There's teams like such as Strikers this year are going to be pretty key for that. They promoted a whole heap of their juniors and they're going to really give them an opportunity under John Cosmina. So John Cosmina is getting back into coaching at Brisbane Strikers after he finished up with Brisbane City a couple of years ago. But even when he was at Brisbane City, he was really giving young kids a chance. I mean, Brisbane City's team, when they were finishing fifth, sixth in the in the competition had an average age of about 20, 21. So there's a lot of young players coming through. And you're combining that with maybe one or two more senior players per squad. And that's the real thing. And it's about getting that balance. And sure, you're not going to have that consistency when you've got these young players. And I think we're going to see that over the course of this year. And we've seen it over the course of the last couple of years with some squads who have probably skewed slightly more youth than more experienced players. But other than just having a great group of players and a great group of coaches coming through those young ranks, I think that's probably all I can put it down to.
And tell us a bit more about this pathway into the A-League, because we've seen Warren Moon take that big step and he has made it, you know, very obvious that he will be looking at Queensland talent. He wants to build sort of what Adelaide United have done and build almost a state side just full of young Queensland products. I mean, how good is this for young players in the state?
Oh, superb. And look, Warren Moon's been fantastic with Lions, both in the BPL and then when they made that jump up into the NPL. I mean, two-time premiers, they won a championship as well. And Mooney made it, as you said, has made it very clear. I think he gave an interview right at the start of this season where he said he believed in young Australian talent and believed in young Queensland talent. And, you know, you can throw the Maroon sort of what flag waving out about that. But he really has put his money where his mouth is, if you like. He's given players an opportunity. Josh Brindle-South has been in the A-League before, but he's come up through Lions and he's seen what he can do at Lions and he's given him an opportunity in the A-League and he's done pretty well. As far as I can tell from this sort of slightly non-impartial observer, I do like Josh and he's a great guy, so it's great to see him do well. But we also had Danny Kim when the A-League resumed last year, who really came in and made his mark. And like you said, with Warren Moon himself as a coach coming through, it shows that there's a pathway there. And I think that's another real incentive for a lot of these players who are playing in the National Premier League Queensland this year, to actually see that there's a competition pathway all the way through and to know that Warren Moon's looking is really key. And you've got some great young coaches as well, aside from Warren Moon, who've come through. Ben Kahn is probably one of the most qualified coaches in the country. He's still in his early 30s. Olympic, he's made three consecutive grand finals with Olympic. And I mean, I know that's a bone of contention because they just can't quite make that final jump to become champions. But I mean, he's a quality coach. And it's another, you know, there are options, I think, for both clubs in an A-League and who knows, maybe even the second division.
There are two players that I'd like to specifically ask about because I feel as if they might have professional aspirations or at least professional potential and the ability to go further and might be on Warren Moon's radar. If you want to chuck any other names in the mix, feel free. But there's two guys that I've been watching from afar for a while, Jez Lofthouse and Andy Pengelly. Tell us about those two.
Jez Lofthouse is absolutely one of my favourite players to watch, probably overall in football in Australia at the moment, and has been for a couple of years, because he's one of those players that when he gets the ball and turns to face goal, you sit up a little bit straighter. You think something's about to happen. It's an overused cliche, but he's an excitement machine. He's got fast feet. He's got great technique, which was really honed playing futsal. So, and you can see all of that come through. And he's not afraid to have a go. He scored some fantastic goals. And even as a young man, you know, you can see the potential that he has. And yeah, I'd love to see him make the next step further in his career. And hopefully that would be with a Brisbane-based team. It's obviously a tough spot to get into the top flight and into the as a striker. I think, you know, you need to have a little bit of something, but he certainly does have more than a little bit of something, has to be said. It's a real pleasure to watch him play. Andy Pengelly is another player who is just superb to watch, a goal-scoring machine, a lot bigger than you think he is. I think that's one of the things that I always get surprised about when I see him. He's a real, he's got a lot of strength, but he marries that with some sensational skill, some sublime touches. And again, any player who sits in the forwards and just is able to get the ball to his feet, turn and shoot, is a player who you want in your side, and he's going to do fantastic stuff for Andy Pengelly. I think he scored a hat-trick in pre-season last week against the Indigenous All-Stars, or certainly has been finding the back of the net in pre-season, and that's a bit of a warning shot for a lot of other clubs in the competition as well, because he's a real handful, and I don't think we've really found a defensive unit that's been able to deal with him that well so far.
Well, it certainly doesn't look like that based on the stats. I mean, in 2019 for Brisbane Strikers, Andy Pengelly, in league and cup games combined, scored 52 goals in 34 games. And then coming back from Singapore with his brief stint with Lion City Sailors before the pandemic, came back and scored 14 and 15 for Peninsula Power. So, I mean, with stats like that, it's kind of a head-scratcher as to why he hasn't been getting more A-League interest.
You're absolutely right. And that, with his stats for last season, you know, he was coming off a fairly niggly injury, leg injury as well. So he was dealing with that a fair bit. I think it was calf, and then it sort of progressed up to his hamstring. He wasn't fully fit, and yet he was still able to produce those sorts of performances and score at that sort of strike rate. And he's one of those players, again, who he can possibly, you might not even know he's there for a little while. And not to say that he's not working hard, because he does. He busies himself around in the attacking half of the field, both defensively and in terms of making chances for everyone else. But then all of a sudden, the ball will come near him on anywhere around the edge of the box, and he'll fire it into the back of the net. I'm also told his free kicks in training are second to none. So I'd be like to see a little bit more of that from him this year, although I think he's got a fair bit of competition at Peninsula Paris to who actually gets the ball in those attacking situations. But no, he's a phenomenal player. And again, you're right. It's one of those, I guess, imponderables, isn't it? That there's so many players, or I say so many, but there's certainly a handful of players playing in the second tier, the nominal second tier at the moment, who you'd think would be worth a chance, or certainly worth a look at. And he ended up going overseas to get his opportunity professionally. He's come back to Australia at the start of the pandemic and has continued to show that form. Be interesting to see how he goes this year.
Simon Smale is our guest this morning on Breakfast on FNR. We're chatting all things NPL Queensland. Simon, you mentioned one of the big fish captured in the off-season, and that's John Kuzmina. He returns to Perry Park, a big acquisition for a big club. What will this appointment do for the league? And sort of take us through his history with the Strikers, because he has been there before.
Yeah, I think it will be pretty much 20 years since he was last involved in the Strikers. He was in the NSL as a coach with the Strikers, and he spent a little bit of time, I think, in the Estate League with them as well. And since then, obviously, he went on to do great things in the A-League with Adelaide and had a lot of experience there. He had three and a half years at Brisbane City a few years ago in the NPL, and on the face of it, they didn't make finals in that time. You know, you could probably look at that and go, oh, maybe that's not a fair return. But it is certainly fair to say that he brought a lot of young players through at Brisbane City. And when you look at the way Brisbane City have since gone, you know, they've struggled since he left, it's probably a fair reflection to say that they were overachieving with the players that they had and the players that he was giving an opportunity to. And that was perhaps part of the game. And Strikers have been at great pains to say that they're part of a long-term project now. They want to bring young players through, and they want to be that sort of development club rather than perhaps pay bigger money to some more established stars. And look, they have a very, very young team. They've signed a lot of very, very young players. I mean, I'm looking through the signings that they've been releasing recently. It's just young kids, essentially, that they've promoted from their academy, and they've poached from various other youth teams around the state and even going north. I mean, they've got a couple of people from the far north. Casey Agnew from Southside Comets up in Cairns has come down, as well as players like Mitch Edwards, the goalkeeper from Brisbane City. Seb Hernando, who's a really top talent. I'd love to see him sort of settle at a club and under a coach like John Kuzmina really develop. He moved over from Mitchelton. He's jumped around a couple of clubs recently. But I don't think they're going to be challenging for finals. I don't think that that's really going to be their remit this year. But John Kuzmina is a big name. You know, having a player like John Kuzmina, a coach, sorry, like John Kuzmina in the competition certainly adds a little bit of interest. It certainly keeps those sort of things moving in terms of the greater, wider media landscape. And look, I think it's a very good acquisition for Brisbane Strikers, and I think they could do an awful lot worse. And with how they want to redevelop these young, talented players, well, this is a great opportunity. And he's proven with Brisbane City, I think, that he can do that really well. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I think tentatively, I think it's a pretty good move for Strikers.
Really interesting to see Cosmina back in Queensland. Let's talk about Peninsula Power. We've spoken about Pengelly at length, but not really about the team as a whole, who were the clear minor premiers but couldn't get it done in the final series. Have they kept the core of the squad together? Do you think they'll go around again and be title contenders?
Yeah, look, I certainly think they're going to be up there. As I already mentioned, the top four from last year, I mean, it's going to take something pretty remarkable to dislodge anyone from that top four. They've lost a couple of players. Certainly, they've lost a couple of squad players. One, the big one, though, for me was Cam Crestani. So he's actually dropped down into the newly formed FQPL2. So what, two divisions below the NPL, with Caboolture to link up with his former coach, Terry Kirkham. Incidentally, Caboolture have actually built quite a squad for the QPL2 competition, so it might be worth keeping an eye on them, and they will be expecting rather than hoping to be promoted into the FQPL and then into the NPL. They've got grand ambitions, play out of a really good venue as well down there. But no, I think they've certainly got enough to still be in the mix, and they've certainly got enough players on their books to really cause most teams problems. I think it's going to be very difficult for any squad really to truly challenge. They've added Brendan White from Brisbane Strikers as a goalkeeper. They had a couple of pretty decent goalkeepers last year as well, it had to be said, but they did suffer from injuries. Michael McGowan as an experienced player to perhaps replace Cam Crestani. Xander Guy has also signed for Penn Power from Gold Coast United, and he's a really exciting player. Has a tendency to not be as involved as he could be in games all the time, but nevertheless, still a really exciting player. And if he's given a longer run and perhaps given a little bit more responsibility of Peninsula Power in what's a stronger squad than he had with him at Gold Coast United, it will be interesting to see how he develops. And they've also signed Jake McLean, another one of the players from Strikers who's moved on to greener pastures. So look, they are still a strong squad. The players they've lost, other than Crestani, possibly more squad players, but they're still there. Aaron Phillip did such a good job with them last year as coach. I still think they're going to be very, very strong and well up there.
We're talking to Simon Smale, NPL Queensland commentator. Their season is kicking off this weekend, so be sure to check them out wherever you can. Just before we let you go, Simon, Gold Coast United is a club that I think all Australian football fans are really looking forward to see, or at least have a keen eye on. They have a lot of their former A-League players back in there, either playing or in the backroom staff. Are they a bit of a dark horse this season? How do you see them in 2021?
Yeah, absolutely a dark horse. They've got a new coach, Gray Piddick, who has been involved in the NPL Queensland for a long time and has been hugely successful. He's one of the most successful coaches to come out of Queensland at this level for a long time. He was controversially removed from his post at Gold Coast Knights last year after one defeat, maybe. And I think that was probably only his third defeat in 3 years at Knights. So it was a bit of an unusual one, but look, he is a quality coach. There is absolutely no doubt about that. And I think we were all expecting him to land somewhere, and we knew that he lived on the Gold Coast. And once you start living on the Gold Coast, it's incredibly hard to live anywhere else, such as the fantastic lifestyle down there. And look, I'm pretty excited to see what he can do with an experienced squad that probably underperformed last year. But they've signed Rhys Lambert from Capella Bar, who's a really good player, could really improve that squad. Jared Kyle, Paul O'Brien, those are two players that really suit Gray Piddick's style of play. They've been involved in the competition for a while. Adam Endean as well has come along from Gold Coast Knights. So he's strengthened that squad. Now, again, like I said, it will take something remarkable to break into the top four, but I don't think Gold Coast United can be written off under any measure this season. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see. And, of course, the derby now down there on the coast is going to be fantastic with Gray Piddick being involved in United. So you're right, they've got that soft spot, that affectionate spot in a lot of football fans' hearts. who knows, this could be the season where they really, really step up and start to push for that final spot.
Well, I guess we have to ask you before we let you go then, Simon, about the other side of the Gold Coast divide. We have a lot of Croatian listeners on the station, and the Melbourne Knights have a club show. So their sister club, Gold Coast Knights. You mentioned the coaching controversy. It's never boring with Gold Coast Knights involved. Where do they stand heading into the season?
Look, they're hugely ambitious. There's no doubt about that. And they have made, you know, no secret, I guess, of what their ambitions are. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how they go. They benefited hugely from the players coming up last year. Harrison Sawyer, I know you'd be well aware of him commentating in the NPL Victoria, and I think he scored last week, didn't
he? Yeah, I commentated the goal, in fact, Simon. So.
Yeah, I mean, off his chest, was it? It didn't look as
head,
tidy
shoulder,
as some
back,
of his
who knows?
Well, he's another player who can just score goals if he's just in the general vicinity of the ball in the penalty area. He can cause problems. So, yeah, look, without him, it's going to be pretty interesting to see, actually. And they haven't made too many signings, it has to be said, over the duration of the off season. But I mean, look, they finished last season so strongly because of Harrison Sawyer. They've got some quality players. Mitch Nichols is still there and thereabouts. Whether or not him being another year older, and he does have these little niggles here and there now that you wonder how much more they start to become real injuries as he gets a little bit older. So it is going to be very, very interesting to see how he goes. Marek Madlay, though, is one player they have signed. Now, we spoke about how many brilliant goals that were scored last year for strikers by Pengelly. Well, Marek Madlay scored 40 goals the previous season in the competition. He didn't have as good a year last year, and indeed the year before he struggled slightly, I guess, for a run of matches. If he can get a run of games for Knights, he is a phenomenal goal scorer, and he works incredibly hard, incredibly dedicated to his craft. They will be another really strong team to look out for, and you can't rule them off. And again, like we haven't really mentioned Olympic, and we haven't mentioned Lions either, who are the reigning champions, and you know, they got ruled out last year. And they came through to win a championship. You cannot rule them out. Darren Syme, who was Warren Moon's assistant for about 5 years, is a player who has managed to get the best out of a very, very sort of condensed squad. They always have a condensed squad. They go for quality over quantity. Sometimes that can come back to hurt them when they have injuries, just like they did last year. But if they can stay fit, they're going to be in with a real contention. Again, Olympic, we've spoken about them briefly. They played the best football last year. There's no doubt about that. And yeah, you're right. That was helped by Sakir, who is freakishly good. I don't think there's any doubts about that. Some of the things he was doing on the pitch last year were extraordinary. But look, they've recruited really well. Zach Anderson's come in at centre-back. He'll replace Veta Hargic and sit in that role. You know, he's a player who's won an A-League championship and played all over Asia and indeed other parts of the world as well. Isaac Cernak, again, a player who's gone around in the A-League, an experienced player. They've signed some other local players as well. Alex Barlow, Shannon Brady. And they join a team that has Jez Lofthouse, Steve White, Daniel Leck, Jean-Philippe Lassen. That's a lot of quality, and I still think they're probably the team to beat if they can put it all together and keep it going for the whole season.
Plenty to look forward to in 2021 in NPL Queensland, and that Gold Coast derby is certainly all the more spicy this season as well.
Absolutely.
Before the controversy that's come their way. Simon, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Breakfast. Which game will you be calling this weekend?
I'm going to be at Lions Gold Coast Knights, which I'm absolutely pumped about. I think it's one of the standout game of the round. It's just going to be a hugely exciting game. And I think that really will set the scene for how both teams both go. So, Saturday night at 7 o'clock Queensland time. That'll be definitely worth watching. Although I know that the NPL Victoria is also worth watching, Josh, and I'm sure I wouldn't want to take it.
I tell you what. it does not go head-to-head with any MPL Victoria games this weekend because everybody's decided to play on Friday night. We have six games on Friday night for some reason and one on Saturday afternoon. So who knows what the Brains Trust was doing putting the fix together, but that means that everybody's schedule here in Victoria is opened up. 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 p.m. up in Queensland for Queensland Lions, Gold Coast Knights, match the round, Simon Smale on the call. What else would you rather be doing, Athos? Melbourne Derby?
No.
But yeah, Simon, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we wish you the best of luck and hope to hear from you very, very soon as well.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Anytime. Real pleasure. Thanks very much.